Somebody say tonight. The Bible says today is a day of salvation. And how many want to go to heaven tonight? Amen. How many literally want to go to heaven tonight? Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you. Somebody say exhort. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak. Read this together. Be patient toward all men. Verse 15. So that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Hallelujah. And we beseech you, and wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even also as ye do. We exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. I want to talk to you tonight on this thought, the stronghold of isolation. The stronghold of isolation. God bless you. You can be seated. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Christians in Thessalonica, if I can say it properly. And the first 10 verses or so, he's talking about the coming of the Lord. In fact, it mentions it coming as a thief in the night. And so when he gets to verse 11, verse 12, 13, 14, 15, and then so on, he gives some biblical precepts, really, as was taking place. And Thessalonica was a major city in Macedonia, which would be Greece. It was a diverse place. There was Jews there. There were obviously Macedonians. There was Romans. This is the book of Thessalonians is one of the Apostle Paul's earliest books, one of the early epistles. It's the 13th book of the New Testament, and you can read about some of Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17, Acts chapter 18. There's Paul and Silas, Timothy are some of the main characters in those books there. But Paul wrote this while he was in Corinth, and while he went to Thessalonica, he saw a revival there, and there was some prominent women that were saved there and helped kind of usher in revival in that area. But this was a young church, and Paul writes to this young church. It was probably about 2 or 3 years old, according to some study that I did when Paul writes this this epistle. And Paul's writing to them to give them some reassurance, some encouragement and confidence to the Christians there. In fact, he tells them in 1 Thessalonians 3 and 2, he says, he sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. And Brother Jody, there are several things that the enemy will try to do to trip up your walk with God, to hinder you, to put as a roadblock in your walk with God. And one of those is offense or being offended. We talked about that some weeks back. Another one would be intimidation or fear. Another one would be temptation. He'll use temptation as a stumbling block or as a way to deter your faithfulness or anointing. The other one is discouragement. And then one that I believe I see more and more in the church is isolation. And I'm going to talk about isolation. A stronghold is a place dominated by a particular group or marked by a particular characteristic. And so tonight I'm talking about the stronghold of isolation. In fact, we are in a spiritual battle. How many would agree with that? Okay. And Part of being in warfare or battle is you have to know your enemy. And we know Satan, or the adversary, is our enemy. In fact, Scripture tells us in, what is it, 1 Corinthians, or 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, the Scripture says, lest Satan should get advantage of us, we are not ignorant of his devices. Part of being a good soldier, or being somebody that when you have an enemy, or we're not in competition with the devil. Make that very clear. We are not in competition with the devil. The devil is a defeated foe. Yeah. He is our enemy. Yeah. You have power over the devil. You have power over the enemy. Yeah. Now, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, then you got a bigger problem. And if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, you have a bigger problem. And if you're not praying, you got an even greater problem. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So we need to not be ignorant of the devil's devices. And so part of understanding our enemy is not being ignorant. So the first point I want to make tonight, you got 2 points, is isolation is a tool the devil uses to discourage. Isolation is a tool the devil uses to discourage. Now, isolation means to set or place apart, to detach or separate, as to be aligned, to cut off, to close off, or to seclude. What I'm referring to tonight is if you're going through a trial, a tribulation, having a hard time with your walk with God, the last thing you need to do is be isolated from God, His Word, the church, the people of God, or prayer. Can I get an amen? We should never isolate ourselves from other believers if you're in one of those dealing with a hardship, a trial, a tribulation, or you're in a spiritual battle. You do not want to isolate yourself from the people of God. Not only is it dangerous, but we are to advance the kingdom of God. We're on the offensive. We're not a defensive, in a defensive mindset. We're on the offensive. We go and make disciples. We're not reactive. We're proactive. We have all the things that we have is to propagate the gospel, is to win the war, because we're going to have battles, but we're ultimately in a war. We're in a race of endurance. And so if the devil can get you isolated, then he'll do that. Notice this, what the Scripture says. We, in Romans 12 and 5, we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Now, this is going to offend some of you, but isolation shows selfishness, okay? It will hinder your spiritual growth. I want to make sure I clarify this. This has nothing to be with people that don't like to be around people. They like to be by themselves, people with that personality. This has nothing to do with that. This is about when you're going through a trial, a tribulation, a hard time in your life, a spiritual battle. I want to make sure I clarify that because like my father-in-law is a great person, but he can live by himself. Don't want anybody around. Call you if he needs something, but he won't call you if you don't call him. And that's fine. There's lots of people that way. They're awesome people. Nothing wrong with that. Not everybody's like pastor and likes to be around people all the time. Somebody say amen. But we are part of the body of Christ. And the Scripture tells us, God did not make us to be alone. All right. In the beginning, God made Adam and Eve. Notice Genesis 2 and 18. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I'll make him a helpmeet for him. He made a helpmeet for man in the garden. Notice this. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. Would the devil rather come after a group of believers that have fellowship and are building each other up in the Lord, or would he rather come after a struggling believer? He's going to want to go after somebody that's struggling. 1 Peter 5 and 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, just want that to sink in. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Notice this. Isolation opens ourselves up to spiritual attacks, to sin, to depression, to selfishness, to anger, and all of these things can and will deter you from spiritual productivity. The devil wants to get you isolated from the people of God, from the house of God, from His voice, from the Word of God, from prayer, from church, from good, godly, holy fellowship. He wants to isolate you from that. Notice a lion, he's looking for, maybe, let's just use, for example, a zebra, right? And because this happens, those of you that are animal lovers, other animals eat other animals. So lions eat zebras. And so they're out in Africa or in the jungle, and the lion sees an animal, and he's gonna go after either the weak, the slowest. He's gonna go after the vulnerable, and that's what he's looking for. If he can get that zebra away from the pack, it's prey, P-R-E-Y. And if he can get them in a secluded or away, and he could, or you see some animals chase another animal, and one that's faster because the other one is weak. Over time, they get attacked, they get gobbled up, they get eaten, and so on and so forth. It's the same thing with our walk with God. If the devil can get you isolated, especially when you're in a trial, when you're going through tribulation, when you're having some hard times in your walk with God, you're in a battle, because we're all in a battle and we're all facing something. Sooner or later, you will face something when you walk with God. It'll either be a person, a place, or a thing, but you're going to face that. And it's easy for the devil, if we're isolated, to get the upper hand on us. When we're going through hard times, it's easy for us to isolate ourselves. It's easy. It's just kind of sometimes it's natural. When you're emotionally distraught or troubled, you're typically not making good decisions. Remember, we've talked about it. When your emotions are out of control, the reasoning and decision making is usually at its all-time lowest. God's not the author of confusion. It is not the will of God for you to be isolated from God, His people, or His Word. That is not the will of God. We're the body of Christ. We are to be together. We are with Him. We are supposed to be one with Him. He has filled us with the Holy Ghost. What we have is Him. We are bought with a price. That's what the Scripture says. So the devil will try to use isolation to get you. Notice this. The Scripture will tell us in John 10:10, the thief cometh but not to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Notice, the enemy has come to steal your joy. Okay? He's a stealer. He's come to steal your hope. He's come to steal your anointing. He's come to steal your faith. This is real life stuff. This is what the enemy, he steals, he kills, and he destroys. He'll try to kill off your spiritual legacy, kill off your spiritual blessing, kill off your spiritual fruit. We talked about it on Sunday night, try to kill off your praise. He'll try to kill off your stewardship. Come on, somebody. He'll try to kill off your faithfulness. He'll try to destroy your marriage, destroy your reputation, destroy your ministry, destroy your family. He'll try to destroy your church. In fact, the Scripture tells us that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. The devil will try to come up against the church. But who is the church? The people. The people are the church. All of us here tonight, we can go to the park. We can have church right there. And we're still Revival Tabernacle. We're still the church. Go to somebody Friday night. The ladies are getting together at my house, and the church is going to be there. A portion, a body of Christ is going to be there. Last week they got together at Brother Drozik's house, and there was the church. They on Saturday, some of the elders in the church got together at the Best Western for the banquet. Guess what? That's the church. You are a representation of the body of Christ. He's going to come up against you to try to destroy you. Isolation makes you vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. Notice, being vulnerable. You're capable of or susceptible to being wounded or hurt. You're open to moral attack, criticism, temptation. You're accessible. You're exposed. If you're taking notes, write this down. When you are facing a trial, a tribulation, or a hard time, the last thing you need to be doing is to be isolated. Depression, crazy ideas, thoughts, past poor decisions linger in isolation. Notice this. Romans 7 and 18. For I know that in me, somebody say that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You already got some of those characteristics. And you put isolation into that, and you allow that to grow into vulnerability, that's a recipe for disaster. Notice this. Idleness and isolation get more people in trouble than anything else. Those of you that are parents, kids that are left alone in the room with something that they're not supposed to have, and it gets real quiet, and you're like, what's going on? You walk in, and they're like, idleness, right? You notice some people, they should be working, but they're not working, and they can't work. And next thing you know, they're getting into trouble, right? You hear it all the time. An idle mind is a what? Devil's playground. And before you know it, idleness and isolation will get you in trouble. You isolate yourself from the people of God. You isolate yourself from the Word of God. You isolate yourself from God and His voice. And before you know it, you're running around and you're getting in trouble because you're isolating yourself. And you say, well, I'm just by myself. Well, hey, the things that defile a man come from within man. Remember that. The things that get us in trouble are the things that come from within. The ideas, oh, I don't know where that came from. It came from your mind. That's where it came from. Think about it. Isolation means that you're detached. Nobody here can make it on their own. Tell your neighbor, you're not that good. We need one another. And we all need God more now than ever before. We need the body of Christ more now than ever before. Ecclesiastes 4 and 9 tells us, two are better than one. See, we like that kind of stuff when it's BOGO. Buy one, get one. You're like, oh yeah, got two for the price of one. But this, maybe that's where that came from. Because they have a good reward for their labor. All the ladies are saying, amen. More shoes. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth. For he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not easily broken. Listen to Pastor Pinero tonight. Satan, your adversary, wants to isolate you. So he can steal, kill, and destroy. What will the devil use to isolate you and keep you away from God, His Word, His voice, and the church? What is it that he's going to use? What is it that he's using? Notice, when facing a trial, tribulation, or rough time, making statements like, I'm going to go to church when I get it all figured out. Isolation. Nobody understands. I'm embarrassed. Everyone knows, or they're going to talk about it. I just have a lot going on and I need prayer, but I'll come back. I don't tell people anything. Those are lies of the enemy. He's trying to isolate you. That's what it is. Hey, we know there's no gospels in this church. They go to church somewhere else, right? Somebody say amen. But even if there were just one little speck, micronism of gossip, really, you can allow one little small thing of the 7 billion people in the world, you can allow one person, one instance, one bad experience, one hour, one day, one week that is bad, that didn't go right to your expectation, because it's still the day the Lord had made. Right? So it didn't meet our expectation. It wasn't to our standards. You're going to let that hinder you from getting to heaven? You're going to let that hinder you from your joy and peace in the Holy Ghost? You're going to allow that? My friend, nothing in this world, no people, no place, no thing is worth going to hell for at all. What you have to give up to go to heaven, you will have to give it up to go to hell. Well, my sins are too hideous to bring to the altar. It's just perfect scenario for isolation for the devil. Notice this. These are just excuses, or I'll give you an out. They're strongholds that at any given time, they seem justifiable. But what I want you to know tonight, these could just be red flags. When you hear these things or you see those, let them be warnings or red flags that you're headed down a slippery slope. Notice this. When what you need more during those times of isolation is to be in the house of God. When you're going through a rough time or hit a trial or tribulation, what you need more than ever is to be in the presence of the Lord. Not to pull yourself away, not to put your phone on mute and not answer calls or disconnect the voicemail option on your phone and say, well, I didn't get the voicemail. Really? Come on. 1 + 1 is still, it's really generic. We've had phones for 10 years now. I mean, the smartphones for 10 years now. So we're all pretty good about all the ploy. But hey, it's called isolation. The devil will try to get you isolated and say, well, you know, I just try to figure it out on my own. What you need more than ever when you're in the midst of a trial, tribulation, a hardship, you need the prayer of the saints. You need the word of God. You need the singing. You need to be in church. Even if you're in church on your phone, you still need to be in church. You need to be in the house of God. You need to be in the presence of the Lord. What you need is the brothers and sisters to shake your hand and to tell you, I'm praying for you. I want to encourage somebody here tonight that if you're ever going through a rough patch, you don't need to stay home. You need to be in the house of God. If you can't make it to church on Wednesday night, get a Thursday night. Find somewhere to be in the presence of God. In His presence, there's fullness of joy. The more you pull away, the darker the cloud will get. The more you pull away, the isolation becomes more familiar. Pretty soon, you really are detached because somebody's sitting in the area that you used to sit in, and there's new faces, and you feel disconnected because you've been isolated, and then you feel like an outsider. And that's the enemy will work on that and allow you to feel, well, see what happens? You're gone for two services and see what happens. You had to work. There's no way out of it. And see what happens? And you begin to feel isolated and nobody calls you and because they can't leave you a voicemail. And so you don't get good risk. Just all these things. And before you die, the devil starts playing on your mind, right? That's why the scripture says, and be transformed by the renewing of our minds. We gotta let our minds be renewed. When you're going through a trial, tribulation, a rough time, you need to be in the house of God around God's people more than ever. Somebody say amen. Amen. Second point is everyone needs encouragement. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient toward all men. Encourage means to give help, to inspire with courage, spirit of hope. Spirit or hope. Comfort the feeble-minded. What Paul is meaning is let them know that the battle is not theirs, but it's the Lord's. That the feeble-minded would be the faint at heart. You know, a lot of times when you're in the church, you don't realize that everybody's going through something. But the devil will try to isolate you and make you think, well, man, that's just you. You're crazy. You got something wrong with you. You don't got the same Holy Ghost as the person next to you or the people on the platform. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil himself. He is a liar. He is the father of it. Support the weak. Strengthen those wings and those that the scripture tells us that the old and the young get weak. Isaiah tells us, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We got to come to the house of God. We got to get in the presence of the Lord. You got to find a place to pray. You got to find a place to praise. You got to find a place to allow the word of God to saturate and marinate in your heart so you won't sin against it. And the more you're around God's people, the easier it is to be encouraged.
Amen.
At least it should be. Encouragement's not just words, but it's also thoughts and actions. Remember, we're all on a spiritual journey together. Though this Christian journey is not one of a sprint, but it's one of an endurance. Notice this. As a runner is running, as you can tell, I got a lot of experience in running. As when a runner is running a marathon, he runs at a steady, why are you guys laughing? He runs at a steady pace. Right? Any runners in the house? Some of you run in church, right? You wear that shirt, I run in church. And he's running at a steady pace. And everybody's running together. There's only one winner. There's only one. But the beauty about the race that we're running at, Karen, is that when we run, we're all got a crown. We all got a mansion that we're gonna, we all get a reward of heaven. So we all run together. We're not competing against one another. We're running together. So when one falls, we stop, we help the other one up, and we run together with them. When somebody else has got a side ache, we offer them support and we root each other on. We cheer each other on. We say, you can do it. When you get to the end of the line, the crowd is looking and they're clapping and they're saying, you can do it. You can do it. And they're cheering you on. That's what it ought to be in the house of God. We ought to be cheering one another on. We ought to be fighting for each other, not fighting against one another. We ought to be saying, you know what? We're going to win together. We're going to run together. We're going to see one another's kids filled with the Holy Ghost and backsliders come back. We're going to see you blessed and anointed and healed and delivered. We're going to see you victorious in Jesus' name. That's called encouragement. I don't want to be around somebody that's a discourager. I want to be around somebody that's an encourager. Tell your neighbor, be an encourager. Hebrews 10 and 23 tells us, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Listen, five more minutes. We have enough garbage that we deal with outside of the church. We got enough drama, negativity, and things against us in this world. We already got that. The moment we wake up in the morning, our feet hit the ground, we're already in a battle. Sometimes the battle's with ourselves, the person in the mirror, but we're in a battle. But we need to be encouraging one another as much and as often as possible, especially those of the household of faith. If they go to another church and you know who they are, you ought to praise the Lord. God bless you. Hey, that's an encouraging word. Not say, well, I'm not going to say nothing because they didn't say nothing. Hey, we're all a part of the household of faith. Aren't we brothers? We're going to the same heaven. I believe so, right?
Yeah.
Well, notice this. The kind of encouragement, I'm praying for you. I like this one. Come over for coffee. I've dealt with the same thing, and God saw me through it. Look at me. Look what the Lord has done. You did a good job singing tonight. Not say, oh man, you were off key for sure. Woo! Wow! Show appreciation. You know, the after service fellowship is a great way to be an encourager. How about visiting somebody in the hospital? You know, hospital ministry is not just for Pastor Panero. Well, you know, Moses encouraged Joshua in Deuteronomy chapter 31. In fact, Barnabas was called the son of encouragement or the son of consolation by the church in the book of Acts. So we're all better together. We're all the body of Christ. I'm for you. This church is for you. But the devil, he's not for you. He'll paint a picture. He's a great artist. You know, the devil's been the devil a long time. He's real good at it. Remember that. He's got a lot of tricks and schemes. Read the Bible. He tried a lot of things. He tried to tempt Jesus. You don't think he's going to come after you? You don't think he's going to use isolation against you? Proverbs 27 and 17 says, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We need to be supportive of one another. Spiritual support is what it's all about. We ought to be, and I say it often, but we ought to be rejoicing with those that rejoice. We're not part of the haters club, He-Man woman haters club. We're part of the rejoicing club. That's what we are. We're part of the rejoicing club. You want someone to rejoice with you? When you rejoice, rejoice with them. Amen. When God is blessing them. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
If there's ever a time to send somebody a card or a phone call, walk over to them and say hi and pray for them, is when you obviously know they're going through a trial or tribulation. They're having a rough time. Everybody needs encouragement. The musicians would come. Just because somebody is smiling doesn't mean everything is okay. Well, tell your neighbor, smile at them. Say, I'm a good actor. Right? Everybody needs encouragement. Everybody. Say everybody.
Amen.
Find a way this week to be an encourager to somebody. Be an encourager to them. Don't isolate yourself. Say, well, I don't really talk to people. You don't have to talk to nobody. You don't even have to send them a text message. You can send them a card. You could tell somebody to go tell somebody, hey, I'll use Brother Ron. Ron could tell Tony to tell Aunt Karen, come over for coffee. Want to be an encourager. She's a great, great aunt. You don't have to talk to somebody. You could send them a card. You can pray for them. You could just walk over to somebody, put your hand on their shoulder and say, in Jesus' name, bless them. I guess that's talking to them, right? Find ways this week to be an encourager. Because everybody needs encouragement as we stand tonight. Well, I ask you this question. What is it that you know about yourself that will be a tendency for you to be isolated from the church or God or the Word of God? What is it? Have you ever felt isolated or lonely and you wish that someone would have reached out and checked on you? How long has it been since you've deviated out of your normalcy, out of your world, to check on somebody? So we got a good sized church. Sunday mornings, just a lot of people here. Wednesday nights, awesome crowd. But there are folks that sit in front of you, behind you, beside you. So I'm going to put it back on you. You ask, Pastor, where are they at? I'm going to ask you, where are they at? Well, I'm not the pastor. We're the body of Christ. You say, don't gossip. I'm not saying gossip. Don't be busybodies. Just phone call, text message, a card in the mail. Pray for them. When you see them come in, make them feel welcome. Encourage them. Not say, well, you haven't been here so long. We took you off the membership roll. You got to go see Sister Breon and fill everything out again. No. Glad you're back. Good to see you.
Yeah.
High five. You want my seat right here? You can sit here. Notice this. Hebrews 3 and 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. It is today, which is the day of salvation. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I don't want to be isolated from God. I don't want to be isolated from the church. I don't want to be isolated from prayer, from heaven. I want to be in His presence. Because in His presence, there's fullness of joy. Would you lift your hands unto the Lord tonight? Would you just talk to the Lord? Come on, we can have an altar call right here, right now. Right where you're at. Some of you may want to come to the altar, and I encourage that. But the presence of the Lord is in this place right now. Right where you are. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Come on, RT, that's it. Encourage yourself. You may have to encourage yourself tonight in the Lord. David encouraged himself in the Lord. In the name of Jesus. Come on, begin to pray in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
There is power.
I invite one and all to come to the altar tonight. Don't isolate yourself from the presence of the Lord. Don't isolate yourself from the Spirit of God that's in this place right now. There's the sweet presence of the Lord in this place tonight. Come on, one and all. Would you come? Would you find a place to pray and talk to the Lord tonight? Break every chain. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
There is power.
Oh God, we love you.
In the name of Jesus.
Find someone to pray with tonight. Don't scream in their ear, but maybe put your hand on their shoulder and pray with them that God would bless them. That God would strengthen them. That God would encourage them. Come on, everybody's going through something. Everybody's dealing with something. Everybody has a prayer request.
Break every chain.
Hallelujah.
Break every chain.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Chain.
Come on, RT, that's it.
To break every chain.
Help me to be
break
an encourager.
Every chain.
Help me to be
break
an encourager,
every
Lord.
Chain.
Help me not to isolate myself
there
from my brother and sister. Help me not to isolate myself from your
Jesus.
Presence, from your voice, from your word, oh God.
There is power.
I don't want to be isolated.
In the name
of
Jesus.
God, forgive me, God. If there's any sin
there
in my heart,
power,
Lord, forgive me.
In the name
I don't want to be discouraged,
Jesus.
Lord.